This is Twit.
Okay, top of the news is that last Thursday, we got a lot of top of the news, but we'll start with the W3C finally decided, after much debate, to add the EME, which we've discussed in the past, the encrypted media extensions, to the formal HTML5 spec. Not everybody was happy. or, as Tech Dirt's Mike Masnick wrote the next day, Tim Berners-Lee sells out his creation.
Yeah, I was so surprised that it was Tim who did this, really.
Well, he's the director. And,
he was pretty outspoken that just, well,
he was,
yeah,
he was, but my feel, well, so there's two aspects of this that Mike focuses on, and I'm with him on one of the two. So he wrote, just to give you a sense for his position, he wrote, for years now, we've discussed the various problems with the push led by the MPAA, the Motion Picture Association, but with some help from Netflix, to officially add DRM to the HTML5 standard. Now, he writes, some will quibble even with that description, as supporters of this proposal insist that it's not actually adding DRM, but rather this, quote, encrypted media extensions is merely just a system by which DRM might be implemented. Mike writes,
yeah, but why else would you do it?
Precisely. But that's, as he says, but that's a bunch of semantic hogwash.
Yeah.
EME is bringing DRM directly into HTML and killing the dream of a truly open internet. Instead, he says, we get a functionally broken internet, which I'll argue with. He says, despite widespread protests and concerns about this, the W3C boss and inventor of the web, Tim Berners-Lee, has signed off on the proposal.
So of course,
yeah, given the years of criticism over this, that sign-off has come with a long and detailed defense of the decision. So, you know, there are many issues underlying this decision, but there are two key ones that I want to discuss here. First of all, whether EME is necessary at all, and whether or not the W3C should have included a special protection for security researchers, because that's what's missing. And as we've heard me say on this podcast so often, all of the evidence demonstrates the huge benefit to researchers being allowed to poke at security without fear of the DMCA being used to throttle that research. So, you know, Mike doesn't want this at all. That is, doesn't want EME, encrypted media extensions. My feeling is it was probably inevitable. The alternatives were no access, no web-based access to protected copyright content, or the requirement for a browser add-on plugin to implement proprietary protections. And, you know, we're seeing...
That's what we've been doing till now, by the way. That's how it's worked up to now.
Right, and we're trying to move away from the likes of Flash and Silverlight and so forth, in, you know, to more of a standards-based approach. Or the alternative, of course, would be a separate custom application published by each provider to deliver their own content. So to me, I mean, I don't use DRM. I've never copy protected anything that I've ever published, but My sense is that, you know, I think it's clear that the copyright holders are never going to give in. That is, they're not going to just say, okay, fine, and make their content available without protection. So the alternative is to make it more cumbersome to have that content online. So essentially what this does is it creates a standard container and a standard means of invoking what's called the CDM, which is the content decryption module. And so that remains a per provider blob, but the EME, the encrypted media extensions, makes that a uniform deliverable, which ends up providing a seamless experience to the web user who wants to access DRM protected content through their browser. So it expands the portal. It probably makes it stronger in the long term. But the biggest problem from my standpoint is that they have punted on the DMCA provisions. That is, exactly what they wrote was, we recommend organizations involved in DRM and EME implementations ensure proper security and privacy protection of their users. We also recommend that such organizations not use the anti-circumvention provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and similar laws around the world to prevent security and privacy research on the specification or on implementations. We invite them to adopt the proposed best practices for security guidelines or some variation intended to protect security and privacy researchers. But, I mean, this was one of the big issues surrounding this that they just, as I said, they just punted on. They did not put that into the spec. So it is certainly possible that somebody who in the view of the MPAA or the RIAA, whomever was the content owner, decided they didn't like somebody doing research into the security of their CDM, their content decryption module, could thwart that research.
And that's really where people feel that Tim sold out, because he could have supported this very small exemption and didn't even do that. And I think that's the sellout.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there I agree. I think that what we're seeing broadly is this continual maturation of the internet. And to me, we are using currently separate applications, for example, on iOS devices, HBO Go and HBO Now, and Showtime's got its own module, and everybody has their own. And this, moving forward, to me, this feels like a means of integrating this and making the experience more seamless. And the only way we're going to ever get that content in a web browser is if there's either a plugin or a standard. And so, again, people don't have to view protected content through their browsers. No one's making them do it, but this at least provides a framework. So I can see that, but I really do wish that they had said, okay, we're going to do it, but we're going to protect researchers also. And as you said, Leo, they chose not to.